This is First Baptist Church for Sunday, June 6th, 2021.
Good morning. As always, I give thanks for the opportunity. I give thanks to you for allowing me to stand before you. I give thanks to God for making it possible for me to be his vessel and bring forth the word that he has placed on my heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide my words, that you would deliver them to the people in the way you would have them received, and that, Lord, they would have the impact that you would have them have, because we know this is your will, and it is unbelievably strong. It is unable to be overcome. The will of God is the future. Thank you. So this is a message on repentance. It's a critical word and concept for us to understand that we might properly present it to the world. Now, I was asked before service, what scripture am I going to be using? Well, we've been hearing from Pastor Brad, about the final words Jesus gave before being taken up into heaven. But in John 14, Jesus makes this promise. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now he goes on to explain how that Spirit, that person, will be his presence in us and with us. I will seek to blend together for us a deeper understanding of this concept, that those who have received are indwelt, and what happens when we receive. So I will be drawing on Scripture to hopefully weave together a deeper understanding. There's two concepts, you know, inception and reception. There's a beginning, there's a force, and then there's an allowance, a permission, a receiving. So in the revelation of truth, we can begin to understand the difference between how the world views and how the Christian views by looking at definitions. You know, the internet is a very powerful tool. It really is. And just like almost anything in the world, maybe everything in the world, it can be used for good or it can be used for not good. So in the dictionary.com, which I'm going to call the secular definition, we read deep sorrow, compunction, or contrition for a past sin, wrongdoing, or the like. Oh, beating my chest over here. Or regret for any past action. Thou shalt not. This is the Old Testament understanding of who God is. And certainly he gave us the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. And it was about the rules and regulations. The books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy are filled with rules and regulation, observances. Everything that is not allowed, you better not. Okay? But that's only half the picture. In Isaiah 1, 16 and 17, we get a picture. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the cause of the widow. We can already hear an echo of James in the New Testament talking about what true religion is. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. In the power of the internet, I searched and found BibleStudyTools.com, and they gave this kind of a definition. There are two requisites of repentance included in the subject are to turn from evil and to turn to the good. Most critical theologically is the idea of returning to God or returning away from evil. If one turns away from God, apostasy is indicated. I'm going to continue to draw from Scripture to draw a picture here. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it is actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Starting to see a picture of what takes place. We could add to this statement that it is the actual word of God, that word of God, which is Jesus himself, that we receive, that is in us when we received the word of God. In Mark, Jesus began his public proclamation with the call, repent. Mark 1:14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Well, he was talking about himself. I have come that you may have life. He talked about receiving God by repenting and recognizing that the kingdom of God was at hand. And in Matthew, he quotes from Isaiah 9, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And then he continues, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near.'" Jesus reveals that it is his incarnation, his coming to earth, taking on our human form, that has brought this light into the world. When he proclaims that the kingdom of God has come near, it is again he himself that presents, represents, and portends of our acceptance into that realm by our acceptance of him, who he is, what he had done and was to do. By receiving him, he receives us, guaranteeing us a place with him in the glory to come. There's a mystery, and when I call a mystery, it's like two facts that seem to be in complete contradiction of each other. You know, we had this wonderful opportunity, a Good Friday service. There were three speakers, and I was blessed to have the opportunity to speak. And I define that mystery, at least in the biblical sense, of two facts which seem to be in total contradiction to each other, but we know they must both be true. There are many such instances, and I believe it is one of the tests of faith and trust which requires us to acknowledge, as God has told us, that his thoughts are above our thoughts and his ways are above our ways. In our faith, we must accept that though we cannot understand, we can believe. Upon the cross, we are told that Jesus became sin that he might rid us of the condemnation of sin. We are told that this sacrifice paid our debt and redeemed us to God, cleansed and holy as God is holy. But we also know that God is holy and therefore is incapable of containing any sin. During his sacrifice, we are told that Jesus was separated from God. But we also know that the Son, the Father, and the Spirit are one. How could they possibly be disconnected? Well, this is an example of a mystery that we cannot understand, but we can know it's true because the Word is true and God's thoughts are above our thoughts. So now I turn this to the mystery of redemption. What happens at salvation? I would say there's a mystery that occurs to salvation, the beginning of our new life, the moment we receive Christ. By receiving the presence of Jesus Christ, the true vine of which we can become a branch, and I heard you say grafted in earlier, and I thought, this is right on target. Grafted in to that vine, that life that produces salvation from that source, it is an action. I said I would present scripture to provide a deeper explanation of repentance, And it is both in the occurrence of salvation and the action of sanctification. That's big words, but hopefully by the time I'm done, we'll have a better understanding. Isaiah 30:18. But the Lord still waits for you to come to him so he can show his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for him to help them. The Old Testament presents God as a presence awaiting us, and that we who wait on him to be blessed by him are truly blessed. Revelations 3:20, and I mentioned this as a key verse. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Now we see in action the knocking on the door, the opening of the door, and the coming in and being united to take meal together. And we're going to take meal together as we remember Christ today. And it is in that moment that he says, I am here. I want you. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus, God, reaches out to us. Now, I won't present the whole statement or claim it as perfect, but in Calvin's Tulip, the I stands for irresistible grace. Left to ourselves, we resist the grace of God. But when God works in our hearts, regenerating us and creating a renewed will within, then what was undesirable becomes highly desirable, and we run to Jesus just as previously we ran away from him. Fallen sinners do resist God's grace, but his regenerating grace is effectual. It overcomes sin and accomplishes God's purpose. This is a outside look at that mystery of how does that occur. It's undeniable, irresistible, but we're in sin. How can it possibly be from sin that we could call upon God? We know the answer is Christ. We know that God is love, and that it's love. God reaches out, we reach to him. When that call is answered, sin is overcome, redemption occurs, and we begin a new life. The process of transformation into the person that God planned us to be. So I talk about repentance, and how does that occur? Is this an action at salvation where we receive Christ and he receives us? I offer that perhaps this mystery is a combined action and effort and draw that occurs beyond what we can understand. It is the mystery, it is the miracle of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Colossians 1:24-27, Paul says, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction. For the sake of his body, which is the church, I have become the servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Plain language, what happens? Christ in you, the hope of glory, the mystery revealed when he came to earth, when he did what he did for our salvation, when he paid the price. Repentance is the combined act of turning to God and turning away from the flesh. James 2, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, Some will say that James made a proclamation about judgment of one's salvation. That's not our job. We don't see evidence that the person is saved. That is not our job. Whether we see it or not, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. What is being revealed is the undeniable relationship between salvation, redemption, transformation, and the beginning of sanctification. So repentance is both a turning to God and receiving Him, but what takes place next? Why is it a mystery? Because we don't know how we can answer a call that we don't desire. But it is His power to overcome that grants us grace by Christ's efforts to redeem us. So, it's also the beginning of the new life. The action of being sanctified, which means that we are no longer dead in our sin. In our new life, we begin new life. When we talk about transformation, you will see in people transformation. You see, it's not just about what you don't do. It's not just the rules and regulations that says thou shalt not. Jesus, as we know, gave the Beatitudes. You notice that I didn't say Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. Because He told us, this is how you are to live. This is how you are to act. This is how you are to treat others. Echoing again what Isaiah presented about what is true relationship. What does God desire? Does He desire giving a tenth of our time? Does He desire? Of course He does. But what He really cares about is love. How we treat each other. And it's in that beginning of transformation and sanctification that we start to see our brothers and sisters as valuable as children or potential children of God. It is an opportunity to begin new life, to begin transformation, that others may see that transformation. John 10, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We say life more abundant. And what is it? What is that life that He came for us to have? The life that we gain by His presence in our lives, by receiving Him, having Him live in us. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And it's not giving anything up. Amen. It is finding your best life. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. This is what happens when we come to know God, as Jesus told us, when I send the Spirit, you're going to know Him, a person with us, living in us. We now can know God and know the presence of His salvation, the presence of His Spirit. We can now live a life, the life that He has prepared for us to live, our best life. This is the life God wants for us. And for those who will come to Him by exhibiting the fruit. Our salvation, our new life, our abundant life has already begun. So live in the Spirit. Live in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we are living in these, we are exhibiting our new life. And what do we say? Show them. Show them your joy. Show them the love. Show them these fruits that you have received in action in your life, and they will be drawn as we were drawn to accept Jesus, to receive the offer that He is making to us. That mystery overcome of how can sin, a sinful person, call upon God. I want to close with 2 Timothy 2, dealing with false teachers. We've been talking about the concerns for the church. We've seen, let's say, many in the church go astray. And it's important to have that same understanding of the two sides, that we don't know who has received and who hasn't received. We don't have the capacity to judge whether someone's performing deeds or not. But there's no doubt that some in the church have gone against Scripture. And we all fall short. We know that. So it is in our attempts. Repentance is also the effort. Seeking God's will for your life. Always looking for what is God trying to add to my life and what is he trying to take away. Taking away the unnecessary, that which inhibits, and adding to us the goodness that will bring us to a greater relationship and to be a better example to those around us. Amen. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against a quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation still stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Otherwise translated, depart from iniquity. There's the picture, isn't it? We receive Christ, we have new life, we call upon him, we have a conduct. Not just what we don't do. We're not just giving up something to think we're getting better. We begin new attitudes, new actions, new life. That which we could not do on our own, the Spirit through us can accomplish. Brothers and sisters, we must remember our identity. We must acknowledge to ourselves, to God, and to the world that we are a new creation. By thought, word, and deed, we exhibit what it means to be in Christ and Christ in us. We reveal the hope of glory that we have by that example, Christ in us. I know you would like me to continue, but in deference to Sarah, I would like to have a closing prayer. Father God, I do thank you, as I thanked you beforehand, for whatever accomplishment you have caused through these words. And I do pray, Lord, that my foibles, my shortcomings would be overcome by that power of the Spirit to produce and deliver the word in its true nature. We know that you are holy, Lord. And we know that by Christ's actions, by his sacrifice, that we are cleansed, made a new creation, and begin new life, being able to be transformed, being able to be sanctified, being able to be an example of that which is accomplished by you in us, that others might desire the same and be drawn to you as we were drawn to you. Thank you, Lord. We pray your blessing upon the word. We pray your blessing upon this congregation. We pray your blessing upon the speakers to continue. And Lord, for your church, that its true identity would be known, and that those who see us would see you and be drawn to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.